Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They have to be able to be good blockers in that offense because, listen, this is the number one rushing attack in the NFL, and it's not really close. I think that the next closest team is 50 or 60 yards per game behind them, and so this is a team averaging over 207 yards per game, and the tight ends are a large part of that. And they have to be able to block at the line of scrimmage. They have to be able to move and pull and do all kinds of different things within this run scheme. They're asked to do a lot, and not to mention be able to get downfield and create mismatches down the field against linebackers and safeties. And so they're asked to do a lot. It's a really fun offense to be a part of as a tight end. I wish I was still playing and able to get some of the looks in the passing game that they get.
That is former Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta talking about Baltimore's ground game. Yep, 207 rushing yards a game is what they average. Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, and company. It is Football Friday here on WGR. We're taking your calls at 803-0550. Your predictions on the game, and if the Bills win on Sunday, what are you thinking Sunday night, Monday morning? The show, Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, official casino of the Buffalo Bills, and by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, 2019 Pro Football Pick'em. Before we get into SCAF, you know the Bills have a clinching scenario, which we'll get through in a moment, but there are five other teams that go into play this weekend and have a chance to clinch a playoff spot. One spot has already been clinched. That would be the New Orleans Saints. Now we'll get you ready for this Sunday's action. Nope, not SCAF. No. Okay. Sorry, my bad. False start. Simon, 5-yard penalty.
Football.
Super, super, great, great American Football Friday. Frenzy.
And we hear from teams around the league. Bills Ravens, one of the bigger games of the day. The theme of the rest of the league is we're not taking these guys lightly. Like five or six different NFL people saying that about their opponent. Yes. For instance, Kirk Cousins.
You'd have to be pretty immature to overlook them. I mean, just think about what happened against the Broncos here at home.
Who is that?
I know I'm trying to play the game of who could he be talking about. I'm going to go Detroit.
Well, the funny thing is, we'd be silly to overlook them. Remember what happened against the Broncos. Is he saying that they overlooked them?
They won the game.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
But they were trailing.
Here's the rest of Cousins.
What happened against the Bills last year. Every team is really good. And they have highly paid, highly skilled players. And we barely beat them in Detroit. Barely. So you'd have to be pretty clueless to ever use the word overlook in terms of getting ready for this one.
Wow.
So he wasn't a fan of the question, apparently.
I guess not.
Okay.
Well, they're not overlooking the Lions. And the Lions aren't overlooking the Vikings. Lions are 3-8-1. The Vikings are unbeaten at home this year, 5-0. 8-4 for Minnesota.
And the Vikings are in a playoff spot right now. They're holding down the final wild card spot with a 2-game lead over the L.A. Rams going into action. They're also still alive for the NFC North with Green Bay. They are... what, a half game behind? Did I not update this? Are they 8-3? Anyway, go ahead. I'll look it up.
Okay. You know who else is not overlooking their opponent? The Jets. Sam Darnold. They're not taking Miami lightly.
They're playing Miami.
They lost to them.
I mean, it's just the next opponent for us. We're really looking at it, how they played as of late, and then also some things, how they played us. You know, we're just looking at them that way.
Yeah, Minnesota's 8-4. I forgot the Monday night game. Yeah, no, big Jets. Actually, I suppose they would. Would it matter for Adam Gase? I think he's back anyway. If they lost both games to the Dolphins this season, it would be actually very funny.
Yeah. So it's about having respect for your opponent. Now, in some of these games for this week, you have to find something like that. Giants, Eagles. You know, who cares? 2-10 versus 5-7. But there are some good ones, including, you know, the NFC West has must be good crossovers. We've pointed out how the Ravens have played everybody. The Niners have played all the good teams too. I mean, you play in the NFC West, so you're going to have games against good teams. This week it's the 49ers and the Saints. which is 10-2 against 10-2.
Yeah. Top seed in the NFC. Yeah.
The Saints have clinched a playoff spot.
Yep.
The Niners, meanwhile, are in second in their own division, and they're both 10-2.
And look what, look how it can quickly change. I mean, yeah, Seattle. And remember, Seattle has the edge for home field right now. They have the tiebreaker in San Francisco, but it's nice to be in the NFC South if you're the New Orleans Saints. You don't have to worry about competition.
Yeah. Well, this game's all about respect. Kyle Shanahan, he has it. Has respect for Sean Payton.
Sean's been, one of the best, if not the best, for a very long time, and love his, you can see his personality and his play calling, how creative he is, how aggressive he is, and he's going to keep coming at you every play and attack your coverages, and he's a guy I always try to watch.
It is weird if you're San Francisco, they're 10-2 and they're a 5 seed right now.
Yeah.
Like you're looking around at the standings going, what the heck, you're 10-2 in the AFC, you're at this point getting a bye.
Saints, of course, led by Drew Brees. He'll be throwing on that 49ers secondary, which includes Richard Sherman.
He'll have a game where I'm sure he's thrown 15 3-yard passes or 15 5-yard passes, and he doesn't get bored with it. He'll always take what the defense will give him. He's incredibly accurate, poised, and they got a good scheme. Sean Payton does a good job.
The Niners, by the way, will clinch a playoff spot with a win and a Rams loss.
Okay, the Rams, who do they play? The Rams play the Seahawks.
Oh, there you go.
That's in LA.
At home,
but before
Niners.
We get to that, I want to mention that Drew Brees playing the 49ers. Brees in his career against teams with 10 wins or more is 2-8, which is not that surprising. You're playing
good teams.
What's everybody's record against teams with 10 wins or more? Probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
You're playing a really good team. But 2-8, hey, take that for what it's worth. Other games this week, the Bucs. I think the Bucs are they in the playoff hunt in the NFC barely somehow still?
I don't think they've been technically were they eliminated last week?
Okay.
They're 5-7.
Right. I've got Mike Evans talking about playing with a playoff mentality. That's why I ask if they are alive for a playoff spot. But
they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a story this week about what needs to happen for Tampa to make the playoffs. So they are still alive.
Playoff mindset. They are 5-7 hosting the Colts. Other games.
See. Now?
You got Sean McDermott?
Okay, hold all that right. thought, because we're going to go and chat with the Bills head coach.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR, Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Howard and Jeremy with Coach McDermott.
Brought to you by McCollum Christofferson Group. Unlock your financial future. Visit yourwealthadvisormcg.com. By GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. By Northwest Bank. Increasing the value of you. And by the Buffalo Store. West to New York's favorite place to shop.
We don't stop scaff for just anybody. But we were also thrown by Sean McDermott, who is joining us early this week on the Western Hotline. Coach, it's Howard and Jeremy. You caught us by surprise. Good morning. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning to you guys. Sorry about that. I thought we were right on time, though.
No, you're early. This is great. So, good. Don't worry about it.
Good.
It's
been a long time since a game. You had the extra time for the week. you're ready to go.
You're rested and you're focused for us. I did want to ask you about your team's focus. Sean, the players' focus this week. It's a pretty exciting time around here. Fan base is pretty pumped up. Big win over Dallas, big game against Baltimore, playoffs, a lot of stuff going on. How is the focus of your team? How are they going about their business, and how are you making sure they don't get caught up in all the buzz that's going on around them right now?
Yeah, that's always a challenge, but having said that, we recognize that, but we're just on basically 1 week seasons, and that's our approach. That's the team's approach. We've got good veteran leaders in our locker room that continue to drive that message home with our guys.
From your standpoint, coaching, players' attitude, anything, being the hunted, you're not in the hunt. You don't need help. You're in a playoff spot right now. Has that altered or done anything with your approach, the team's mindset, anything on a weekly basis?
Not necessarily. I just think the guys are so focused on 1 week seasons and trying to win this game. It's a very strong opponent, as has been well mentioned throughout the course of, in particular, the last several weeks. You spend time watching the tape of this football team, being the Baltimore Ravens, and there's very, very few areas of weakness. So we've got to continue to improve as a football team, do our job, and play good fundamentally sound football.
The way that you work, the way that you get ready for a game, does an opponent like this, it's different. It's not your everyday run-of-the-mill football team. Not to say that every team is, you know, the same, but do you enjoy it a little bit more when it's a unique challenge like this with an offense like Lamar Jackson runs, like the Ravens run?
Well, it certainly is a challenge. It's a unique challenge, Jeremy. And having said that, I think as competitors, we all look for that, and you don't shy away from that. And no one's been able to crack the code to this point. They've only punted a record amount of times offensively, and so I think that's part of the challenge. And I think you embrace that. True competitors embrace that, and that's what we're looking for.
There are a number of things I wanted to ask you about their defense, but I'd like to talk to you about your offense too, which has made a lot of strides in the last three games. What have you seen in terms of growth? We'll get to Josh specifically, but in terms of overall with your offense, your points per game is up. Things seem to be trending up with that group. Why?
Well, I think overall, you've seen more time on task, like we talked about in the beginning of the season, that being the challenge. Now there's been more time on task, time together. Spreading the ball around a little bit more, other guys contributing in what were smaller roles that are becoming more significant roles. And so that's all good for our offense as it continues to grow. And I go back to giving credit to the offensive line. Games are won or lost up front when you control the line of scrimmage, and we've been able to do that.
With Josh in particular, Sean, these last three games, would you say he's in his best stretch as a Bill?
Yeah, I would, and that's what you want, right? As his career has trended, and he continues to grow and develop, that's what you want. You want him to continue to grow and get better, and that's what we've seen the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks here now. And he continues to take care of the football and continues to get more and more comfortable in the system and understanding and playing faster and understanding overall defensive play in the NFL too. So, it's a natural progression, but the credit goes to Josh primarily, and then the coaches and the people around him. It's been a true team effort. But Josh, he's an extremely hard worker, and usually you get the results of your habits, and he's had great habits this season.
You mentioned, you used the word comfortable in talking about how he is in the offensive system, and I think I would throw in poise too, Sean. We talked a lot about it after the Dallas game. He just seemed like a seasoned vet, and it didn't look like the national stage, the importance of the game, any of that stuff was getting through to him. Can you talk a little bit about that poise, control, command, just that sense of calm that it looks like to outsiders he is showing right now?
Yeah, and you're right on with that. It's in there, and that's part of the scouting process when Brandon and his staff look to evaluate any player, let alone a quarterback, and Josh in this case, is to identify whether they have that poise, that mental toughness inside of them in their DNA, and Josh certainly has that, and it just takes time for it to come out. And again, that's like you said, the more comfortable one gets, the more the true personality comes out, and that's what we've seen with Josh and our overall football team as well.
One of the other guys I want to ask about was Cole Beasley, and it's kind of a two-part question, I guess. First, as John Brown has emerged this season as your top receiver, have you seen teams pay more attention to him? And if so, is that one of the reasons why you look at the last two games, Cole Beasley has been able to come up really big?
Well, I don't know if it's just because of John, but overall, when you do have a receiver like John, then other people can come alive, and when you try and take away Cole, then John comes alive. So there's a good little balance in there, and that's where other pieces come alive also, and that's where we've been able to spread the ball around, whether it be to Devin or Robert or Isaiah or our tight end group overall with Dawson and Lee and Tyler in there. That's been good to see, and that's what you want, is that overall offensive balance where if they take one person away, we can come alive in other areas and beat you in different ways.
Seems like Robert Foster's emerging these last two games, Sean. Is there anything in particular that you and Brian and the offensive coaches have seen from him to say, okay, yeah, we need to get him a little bit more involved? He has been the last couple games.
Well, I think he's getting back to being himself, and it's taken some time. He battled through some injuries early part of the season a little bit, and maybe some through training camp there as well, and him understanding his role on our football team, and so that's been fun to watch his development, to your point, the last couple of weeks here.
So can you just give us the game plan to defending Lamar Jackson, or you want me to phrase the question differently?
Well, that's a great question, Howard.
There you go. That's all I was. That's it. That's all I was.
Is that what you were looking for?
All, yeah, we're keeping a meter here now. It's a little tracking device we have now. So I'm up 1-0 today. So that's good.
Are you?
Yeah.
Jeremy,
you
got to come with something big here.
Yeah. Pressure's on.
Or a good question.
What are the challenges when you look at a guy like Lamar Jackson? What are the challenges he presents to an opposing defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's number one, it's just him as an athlete. He has a unique skill set. You go back and you look at the different quarterbacks, whether it's Cam Newton, you know, people try and put or compare people. Cam Newton, his skill set. You look at Michael Vick, his skill set. There was an adjustment period for teams facing those players because their skill set was so unique. And I think that's just on the surface. The number one thing that jumps off the film is the skill set. And then the system is unique to the NFL. So, you know, whatever they want to call the system, it's just not an everyday NFL system. And so there's an adjustment period that usually takes place as you know, the more you see it on film, the more you're able to adjust to it. So I think that's also what is going on with their offense. It's a tough system, and again, there's an adjustment period going on right now.
The thing I wonder about is I made the comparison earlier this week about former Sabres goalie Dominic Hasek. When you're playing somebody, if I'm a defensive player and I'm playing against Lamar Jackson, I go in knowing that he's dangerous. And I guess I wonder for you, do you have to also attack the mental side of, all right, don't do anything different just because you're afraid that he might make you miss because you know he might make you miss. It seems like there's almost a mental battle that happens in addition to just trying to catch up to him, trying to keep him contained or whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, no, that's also a great point. No, I mean, I think, you know, there's a tactical side to it, and there certainly is a mental side to it in terms of the approach. You know, what's the mental approach? And, hey, do you do things that you've never done before because of the uniqueness of the offense, you know, and then risk losing your identity, risk losing, you know, your fundamentals, so on and so forth. So they've been – look, there's a reason why they're the hottest team in the NFL. There's a reason why they've been averaging 30-plus points a game and beating people, and it's probably all of the above in terms of why they've won. They've won because they've out-physicaled people. They've won because they've played good defense. They've won because, you know, Lamar Jackson has run all over them, or Mark Ingram, or he's throwing the ball. So, you know, that's why, like I said, they're the hottest team in the NFL.
The dealing with all of their weapons and what Jeremy was talking about. Leslie Frazier talked about this on Monday a little bit, Sean, and I think it was, you know, you want to prepare these guys. Coaches come up with a plan. You have all these reminders, points, strategies, but you don't want to overdo it because you don't want your guys thinking too much. You do want them playing fast. So how do you balance all that out this week with them?
Yeah, it's, you know, that's a challenge every week. It's not just unique to the Ravens, but it's probably magnified when you face a team like this, right? So that's one of the challenges that we as coaches face every week is, hey, what is the plan, and then what can the players execute at a high level? It's not what we know as coaches. It's more of what the players know and what they can execute and still bring their fundamentals with them, blocking, catching, throwing, and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's the important piece for us.
I had a quick question about Stephen Hauschka before we let you go. Is there anything the staff has been able to pinpoint, you know, in terms of the field goal issues he's having, the extra points? Is there a tactical thing that maybe that you guys have found, that Heath has found, or snaps, hold? Is there anything you guys can pinpoint at this point? Because this is un-Hauschka-like.
Yeah, we've looked at, and Heath and Matt Smiley, our assistant special teams coach, as well as Hausch and Reed and Bojo have all really put their collective minds together this week to make sure we close any gap that is there from a detail standpoint and then control the things that we can control. And then at the end of the day, hey man, let's go and put the ball through the uprights, and let's have the advantage in the kicking game. This is a good special teams unit from Baltimore, you know, well coached. John Harbaugh is an ex special teams coach, so You know, we're gonna have a big challenge in front of us on special teams as well. And hey, but that's what we look forward to, right? So, you know, they're competitive, we're competitive, and it should be a good game for the fans this weekend.
I forgot I had a weather question for you. It's supposed to be windy Sunday. So if you win the toss, how does wind factor into your decisions about what to do?
Well, you know what? It seems like it's pretty much windy here about maybe October through
May,
March, yeah. March, yeah, maybe. So you know that's the cool part about living here in Buffalo now, going on year three, is that I think I've learned a little bit more each year, and so has our staff, quite frankly, and players, how to execute in these conditions. And so I think you saw that a little bit in the Broncos game, and just in terms of our preparation and our execution compared to maybe the Broncos. And so you know, you learn our stadium as well. I think every forecast just about every week says early in the week it's going to be 10 mile per hour winds, and then I wake up Sunday morning, it's, well, there's going to be gusts of 25. So I fully anticipate that this week, and we'll know how to handle it.
Strategy question, and it's a terrible one, but who calls heads or tails? Who decides? You guys go into a week saying, like, you know, riding.
I'm feeling heads.
Just riding tails. If tails wins,
yeah,
a couple weeks.
I let that up to the captains. They're the ones that go out there. They can handle all that. They've been good so far, so we'll see. No pressure, right?
Yeah, right.
So you leave them the responsibility on their shoulders. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
So if they lose tosses, we're blaming the captains.
Yeah, I'm okay. Off duty on that one.
All right, that's good. I like to see
you got enough on your plate.
Passing it off there. Sean, thanks as always for the time. Good luck on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach on our Western Hotline, joining us here and brought to you by McCollum Christofferson Group. Unlock your financial future. Visit your wealth advisor, mcg.com. By GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. By Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, and by the Buffalo Store, West New York's favorite place to shop. It is Football Friday. We got phone lines open. You can give us your prediction for Sunday. Bills, Ravens. If the Bills win on Sunday, what are you thinking then, where the season is going? And we'll get the rest of SCAF and who to root for and all the playoff clinching scenarios that are on tap for Sunday as well. It's all coming up on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Focused on 1 week seasons and trying to win this game. It's a very strong opponent, as been well mentioned throughout the course of, in particular, the last several weeks. You know, you spend time watching the tape of this football team being the Baltimore Ravens, and you know, there's very, very few areas of weakness. So we've got to continue to improve as a football team, do our job, and play good, fundamentally sound football.
So said Coach Sean McDermott, joining us moments ago. If you missed the interview, guess what? You can rewind on the radio.com app and go listen to everything Coach had to say. Rewind driven by Northtown Automotive.
There was a tweet from the Bills Touchdown A Day account the other day. And they just tweet Bills touchdowns all the time. Usually it's, or sometimes it can be opponent specific. It was Doug Flutie throwing a touchdown to Jonathan Linton.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be in town. Yeah, right.
Against the Ravens. And this play that Flutie, you just tell me. I didn't watch Doug Flutie play for the Bills. I mean, I was a football fan. I didn't see a lot of his game. Saw some of it. I showed up right after Flutie Johnson and all that.
Yeah, you missed all the fun.
He was what?
You missed all the fun.
Yeah. So Flutie, on this play,
yeah.
You tell me if this was every Flutie play. Snap. Rolls. I'm not watching it.
Oh, okay.
Runs around.
Yeah.
Runs around some more.
Pulls the play out of his rear end.
And then runs and throws it to Linton. Touchdown. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was the play.
It was fun.
To watch it was to watch backyard football 100%.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. There's no question. It was a weird time, you know, because he was so not prototypical NFL quarterback. But, you know, at the end of the day, the guy just found a way to make plays and win games. And, you know, he rescued the 98 season, whichever season it was when they were trying to sell club seats. Yeah, I'm actually thinking about him at Boston College. Same kind of guy. Scramble around, make big plays, never give up on a play. Yes, that was Doug Flutie. Flutie mania, Flutie magic, whatever we would have termed it back then. Yeah, he was an exciting guy because he always found a way to make a play work that looked like it was going to fail. And that was him. And it was fun. It was exciting. Clinching scenarios. So we know, if you forgot, the Bills can clinch on Sunday. They need to beat Baltimore. And then you're rooting for the Broncos, the Bucks, and the Titans. Got to have Denver beat Houston. Indianapolis lose to Tampa, and Tennessee beat Oakland. If all that happens on Sunday, the Bills will clinch a playoff spot. Baltimore has a clinching scenario Sunday. If they win this game, they clinch a playoff spot. They can win their division if they win, and the Steelers lose to Arizona. Mentioned the Bills. Kansas City can clinch a playoff spot. Actually, they can clinch the West with a win and an Oakland loss. And New England is also in a clinching scenario on Sunday. They beat Kansas City, and the Patriots will clinch a playoff spot. So there's not a lot. There's only six teams that have clinching scenarios on Sunday, but that would be the rundown. Again, from your perspective, root for Kansas City to beat New England. Be nice if Pittsburgh lost in Phoenix. That'd be cool. I'd take that. Denver to win at Houston.
I want to push back on a lot of this.
No? You don't want Pittsburgh to lose?
Do you want the Sunday night game to matter?
No. No, okay, I want to take stress out of my life.
Okay.
So I root for Pittsburgh to lose.
I don't think the Bills will win this game against Baltimore.
Yeah.
If they do, great. But if they don't, I want Tennessee to win. I don't care about any other game. And then I want the Bills to play win and in against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, no. Because if they lose to Pittsburgh, then I got to freak out about the New England game. And I'm thinking
have
about
to
9
freak
and 6.
Out.
I will freak out.
They
you know
back
me.
Back in at 9-7, maybe.
It's a little nerve-wracking for me. So I would just as soon keep creating distance. I understand your point, but no.
This is part of the mentality. It's funny. In the first hour, you were scolding people for being afraid of going and seeing them lose.
No, I'm just trying to make it easy
on
myself.
Hold on. True or false?
No, I'm not going this way. No, I can root for Pittsburgh to lose.
I understand.
I don't need drama.
Go with
that
me.
That doesn't mean I don't think they can win in Pittsburgh. I just don't need
I'm
drama.
I'm not saying that. True or false, when people called and said maybe they don't want to go to the game
because they think they're going to get blown out.
Because they think they're going to lose to Baltimore. And that could keep people away. Right?
So yes, they were saying that.
Yes. And you think that's bad. Shouldn't have that attitude.
No.
Because you should just enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. I agree. I mean,
I would like less drama in a playoff race.
Okay. I don't feel like there's a lot of drama in it yet. And
There will be in 2 weeks if they don't win one of these games.
That's right, there could be.
I'm trying to avoid that scenario.
Sure. When I mentioned also this morning, I was on with Amy Lawrence overnight. She called and had a bunch of questions about the Bills. And one of them was they have a producer on their show that says, as long as the Bills get one of the next three, I'll be happy.
Right.
And she was kind of taken aback by that. Like, what? How could Bills fans be okay going 1-2 in these three games? And my answer was, that's exactly right.
Yeah, they're
almost
in the playoffs.
Every single Bills fan would take a win over one of these three
You
teams.
Don't want a three-game losing streak, and then you have to beat the Jets.
Right.
Which I think they would do anyway.
I do,
but
too.
And you know what, Jeremy?
But it's not
if
just
they
that.
If they lose this game, they could win in Pittsburgh. I just don't want to have to deal with
that. The point is, these three games would make you feel not only like, well, it's your 10th win, but also that you didn't just beat the Jets. Yeah. You beat a good team. All three of these teams are playoff teams as of this moment. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and New England. So, mm-hmm. you know, would you take 1-2? Sure. I mean, I'd hope for 2-1. Be thrilled with 3-0. But yes, I would take getting one of them.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I would say the Pittsburgh game to me is the most winnable of the three because, no offense to fans of Devlin Hodges, it is Devlin Hodges, and it is a Pittsburgh offense that's really struggling. I mean, they're getting by. They're doing a lot on their defense. And their offense is kind of chipping in when they win football games. They're not exactly exploding for points these days. That's the easiest of the three games. But, you know, if I have my druthers, go ahead, lose to Arizona. I don't need the, you know, win and you're in scenario because it puts pressure on the Bills. And if they lose to Pittsburgh, it's just I'm not going to be a happy person. It's going to be a really crazy week going to lose these next two games. So go Arizona, man. I don't need drama. Go ahead. If you want to wrap it up this Sunday and Houston, feel free to lose to Denver, Tennessee, Oakland, Indy, all that stuff. Let it all happen. Let the Bills beat Baltimore. And then we can sit here and talk about whether the division is in play. I am all in on that. We talk about the Bills and the Ravens for you. 888-552-550. I mentioned this earlier. It's down on the list, but as you think about all the different things in this game, you know, the Bills offense versus the Ravens defense, the Ravens offense versus the Bills defense. There's so many different storylines for both. Worth hanging out and remembering, the kicker for the Bills has been struggling. I know field goals, I think percentages are down around the league this year, but field goals, even extra points now, are an adventure with Steven Hauschka. If this is a close game and it comes down to kickers, that would be a sizable edge for the Baltimore Ravens with Justin Tucker, one of the best kicker in the game, in a week where the Bills put in a waiver claim for Chase McLaughlin. I think they're worried about Steven Hauschka too. So let's put that in the back burner there if it's a close game late. Let's hope if Hauschka has to make some big kicks, he is up to the task because it has now become an adventure every time he trots out on the field.
Tucker's great. First ballot Hall of Famer, kicker.
I'm not sure that a kicker could be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He is the all-time best in percentage made. His numbers are insane.
Well, and he's his distance too. I mean, he's accurate and he's got a strong leg.
I forget who it was. Somebody wrote an article. Should a playoff team, if Baltimore was bad, is he worth a first round pick? He's that important.
Oh, like, you mean yes, if Baltimore was bad, they would trade him
and dumping him. In a scenario, how much would Justin Tucker be worth? And the answer is a first round
pick.
Well,
I guess in this, you know, I didn't see any numbers, but like I said, I've been reading stories that apparently kickers are struggling around the league this year with field goals. I mean, we've seen certainly Bills opponents have had their issues with field goals. A couple guys I think had lost jobs after they played against the Bills. So it's a valuable weapon to have. Look at what happened against San Francisco. He kicks a big field goal with, you know, weather elements and all that stuff going on. He's so reliable. If you're that close and you're worried about your kicker, look at New England. I mean, New England would like to have Justin Tucker. They've gone through five kickers this season with Gronkowski's injury. They can't find a guy to take his spot. So, yeah, it probably is. For some teams that are Super Bowl contenders, they might look at it and go, who cares? We're going to give up a 29th overall pick in the first round or a bottom five pick in the first round, and I don't have to worry about my kicker and sweating out close games. Yeah, I think teams would make that deal. He's a great weapon to have. And hopefully if it comes down to kicks and extra points and all that, Hauschka will be okay. I still think that's affecting the Bills and their coaching. And, you know, they've been pretty aggressive anyway going forward on fourth down. For that matter, by the way, so is Baltimore. But I think it is creeping in and has to be Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott. When you get to like the 35-yard line of the other team, inside the 40, you start thinking about it. 35, do you have to get to the 30 now? Because anything 50 and beyond is iffy for Steven Hauschka. It's almost a 50-50 shot at this point, it feels like.
Just score touchdowns, baby.
Yeah, well, you know, that would help if you can find a way to get touchdowns against Baltimore. The defense is good. I mean, it's not great. I wouldn't say great, but it's good. It is vulnerable, I guess, apparently against the run, but it's probably lost in the discussion because their offense is so explosive. You know, you average 33 points a game and you blow teams out. You know, your defense is not going to get talked about a lot, but what's the number? 13 points a game, I think, on the average
in the last six. Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, they played some good teams in that stretch, so they probably don't get as much ink because it's, you think of Baltimore, what's the first thing you need to try and figure out? Lamar Jackson. And their running game, and their weapons, and their tight ends, and all the stuff on the offensive side of the football. It's a major challenge for the Bills defense, but they're okay on that side of the ball. I think their cornerbacks are very good. To me, who knows what happens with the passing game because of the wind in the forecast, but when Josh Allen puts the ball in the air, I'm curious to see that those are really good cornerbacks he's going against. Brown, Beasley, McKenzie, Foster, whoever, against their top three cornerbacks, it's a difficult matchup. It's a very talented secondary, specifically the cornerback. So I'm not sure how Josh does against those guys.
With T. Suggs no longer with the Ravens, it feels like
T-Sizzle.
T-Sizzle. Mm-hmm. It's like the first time in a long time that the Ravens, to me, are always Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Chris McAllister, Terrell Suggs, Haloti Ngata. I know the Bills are playing none of those players this week, but it just kind of feels like, oh, man.
It's weird.
Yeah. That defense is tough. I mean, you got... Well, wait, who's there now?
Matthew Judon is the
right,
guy. He's their top pass rusher.
Yeah.
But you just, there's not that necessarily that big name guy that you'd worry about in the defense, but it's a good secondary, and there are some guys in the front seven that you have to worry about in terms of the matchup. Yeah, we can get it, Colin. Okay. Jason in Buffalo, you're on WGR on Football Friday. Go right ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Just a quick question, putting the cart before the horse here. But going into the last game of the season, if our playoff seeding is already established, meaning that doesn't matter if we win or lose the Jets game, you think it's advantageous, or do you think we take away momentum by resting or playing starters?
I'd sit them. I wouldn't worry about momentum.
Absolutely. You would, yeah, sit everybody.
If Gingham got hurt, we'd be screaming bloody murder.
Good point. Just wanted your opinion on that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Let's hope we get to that point, by the way, that there's nothing up there. If they're locked in, yeah, you'd sit everybody. The nice thing is, if there was an argument about competitive issues and everything, they're playing the Jets. The Jets are not in the running for a playoff spot. They're not screwing somebody else who's trying to beat the Jets out for a playoff spot. There would be nothing on the line for either team. You sit your starters. Hello, Matt Barkley. Have yourself a day. All right, Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. In addition to NFL football this weekend, it is College Football Conference Championship weekend. We'll get you set on some of the matchups. One of them is on tap for tonight. Make sure you head out to see Sal today. He's going to be down in the South Towns at M&T Bank Branch on South Park Avenue in Hamburg. Sal's going to be there from noon to 2 in support of M&T Bank's Gift of Warmth Drive. So head on out and bring in for donation, a new hat, or scarves, or mittens, or coats. They'll take any, all of the above. Plus, Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas is going to be on hand as well. So meet Thurman, get a picture, get an autograph. Meet Sal, get a picture, get an autograph, and bring in a donation to help out. It is the M&T Bank branch on South Park Avenue in Hamburg. That is today, going on from noon until 2.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills, and by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans 2019 Pro Football Pick'em.
Howard Simon here for the folks over at Reimer Home Services. Did you call? I don't mean to be a nag, but I'm trying to save you money. Hopefully you called and scheduled your super tune-up for your furnace, so you can save a whole bunch of money all winter long. You save the minute you book the tune-up. Normally, it runs $190. You can get it right now for $87. And when you book it, make sure you ask about the rebate. You get a $60 mail-in rebate from National Fuel, so the tune-up costs you $27. But you keep saving. You know, if it's cleaned out, and this is what they do. They send a technician to the house. They clean out your furnace. They also make sure it's safe. They check for cracks, any issues you might be having with your furnace. But when it's cleaned out, it will run at a higher efficiency level. That means you save money. You know how big those bills can get in the dead of winter, keeping your house nice and warm. So why not shave up to 33% off those bills just by getting the tune-up? And as I said, you save money on the cost of the tune-up right up front. Call them today. Call them now. The office is open, 694-8524. Got my tune-up done back in October, so I'm good to go. Take care of yours. 694-8524. Call and book your super tune-up for your furnace from Reimer Home Services.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Five or six years ago when I first got the name, I'm like, man, this is wild, a quarterback named Duck. But, you know, now it's cool, you know, it's something that's kind of caught on and something that, you know, I've kind of embraced. And, you know, it's awesome to hear the fans come up and like, hey, Duck, what's up? You know, Duck, what you up to? And then, you know, if someone calls me Devlin, it would kind of catch me, like, by surprise. I'm like, do you know me? Do you know me, like, good?
Duck Hodges.
Hey. I'm only taking it one game at a time. I'm not. Is Pittsburgh on the schedule?
Afraid of the duck. It's going to be a duck hunt, man. Yeah. Get it?
Boy, it could make for some really interesting headlines.
Oh, yeah.
Duck and cover.
He's got a lifetime of good headlines.
Right? College football. There's a lot of college football going on this weekend. It's the conference championship weekend. Don't forget about that. So tonight, you got Utah and Oregon. Okay, maybe not a lot of Pac-12 fans out here in Buffalo, but it is significant for Utah as they're trying to stay alive for potentially a shot in the college football playoff should Georgia slip up tomorrow. So that is at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, you're set all day from noon until probably after 11 p.m. I will tell you that Baylor-Oklahoma should be a wild offensive shootout, I think. The noon game on ABC. And again, both of those teams alive in the CFP, hoping Georgia loses. If they do, the winner of that game maybe jumps over Utah, depending on how they play. Who knows? Baylor is 7, Oklahoma is 6. Noon, ABC. Watch it. Should be a good game. They played in Waco at Baylor in the regular season. It was a really good game. Baylor had a big lead. Oklahoma came back and won 34-31. Very entertaining. Georgia and LSU for the SEC title game at 4 o'clock. I think even if LSU loses, right, Jeremy, they're in? You think if LSU loses?
I mean, they've got the best resume ever.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know what? If LSU wins, you know they're number two. They're behind Ohio State.
Yeah.
You'd say, why? And you'd have a really good question. If LSU beats Georgia, that would be their fifth win versus a top 10 team this season. Five. And yet they're sitting on behind Ohio State for some reason in the CFP. If Georgia loses, that opens up a spot. If Georgia wins, LSU's probably still in. And my guess is your four are set.
So Ohio State is one, so in case they lose, they can still go? Right?
I would think, yeah, they might, because they're going to play Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin's eighth, so it's not like they're a dog team. And the argument supposedly out there that is even if Ohio State loses, they beat Wisconsin and Columbus pretty soundly in the regular season, that they wouldn't drop below four.
A tradition unlike any other.
Ohio State still in the CFP with the loss.
And Utah not making it.
Yeah, so the Utes would be, again, if they win, would probably be the first team out. So Virginia, Clemson, I don't know that anybody really would think, you know, Clemson's going to lose that game. They've been beating ACC teams pretty good. It's a 7:30 game on ABC. Virginia, first time in the ACC title game. Nice story, but I wouldn't think they're going to pull the upset. And then Jeremy referenced Ohio State. That is the final game of the night, 8 o'clock on Fox. Ohio State probably in no matter what. As I said, even if they win, I have no idea why you wouldn't flip LSU over Ohio State because of strength of schedule. Ohio State has one win against the top 10 team. It was Penn State. LSU has beaten much, much tougher teams based on the rankings. And so there you go. I think that's everything you need to know about the college football championships. Wisconsin, if they beat Ohio State, I don't think they'll be able to creep up into the top four no matter what happens, unless because probably the Big 12 winner would go into the title game instead of Wisconsin into the playoffs. So there you go. Sabres have a couple games this weekend, too. 4 o'clock tomorrow in Vancouver. And then Sunday night at 8 o'clock against Edmonton, which hopefully will cap off a victorious Bills Sunday, and then you can feel good watching the Sabres game.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning. I had a texter say, I like this text, actually, because I'd mentioned that, you know, I'd heard the Sabres were hoping to make a trade by the end of the month, and that was November. And the texter said, don't you owe an explanation for the Sabres not making a trade? The explanation is the GM is the one to make them. You know, I would have made a trade by now, maybe.
He needs to be running this stuff by you.
I mean, you know, what do I have to say for myself? I don't make the trades. I know that they've been trying. It's been widely reported that they have been trying. And that Western Conference forward they want to snag, I don't know what's keeping them from pulling the trigger. Maybe the price too high or the GM that they're talking to balked at whatever last minute. Who knows? Maybe somebody got hurt and that changes things. But they still have too many defensemen. They still dress the wrong defensemen, I think.
Boy, Bogosian had some plays last night where he looked – he got beat wide at one time and he just looked bad.
I've said this before and it's like, you know, it's that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I mean, Zach Bogosian seems like a great guy and I think they value him a lot in the room. Mm-hmm. But he's never been good for them.
Yeah. Last minute
he's never really been good. And he's a big salary and he's a important piece, I guess, of who they think they are. But it's not ever going to be good.
Right. Well, and you've got options in Rochester at the very least. If this is, by the way, a team that is dressing seven defensemen, but you do have options in Rochester at the very least that seem to be playing well, some of the young defensemen. Okay, so here's the deal. Instigators are coming up next. Have yourselves a marvelous weekend. 7 a.m., our Bills coverage begins on Sunday with Bills Breakfast, and we hope you'll be with us Monday morning. Win, lose, rain, snow, whatever, to join us and talk about the Bills and the Ravens.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.